This is Toronto, and there's a brand new literary event that brings a unique perspective to Canadian and American relations. The Border Patrol Reading Series celebrates the longest undefended border in the world. Each reading features one Canadian writer and one American writer. The first reading took place on November 20th at Supermarket, and you can expect more readings in the new year. Damian Rogers is a poet and writer, and she's also one of the organizers of the Border Patrol Reading Series. We chatted recently about Canadian writers, American writers, and of course the series. Here's our conversation. Damian, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, what led to the creation of the Border Patrol Reading Series?
Well, you know, it's been so long that we're not really sure whose idea it was first. I think some mutual friends put me in touch with the writer Jeff Parker, as we're both Americans living in Toronto. And at some stage, I think he credits me with the idea, and since the first one went so well, I'm happy to take responsibility for it. But I think it might have just come up naturally in conversation when we first got together and we're talking about, you know, bringing up a different other writers that we were friends with or who we liked and trying to find a way to do that. And so, but it was one of those things, we're both so busy that we would occasionally email each other about it. And Jeff was actually much better about returning to the idea every so often and asking me if I thought we could get it started sometime, and then we'd both get too busy. And at some point, I mean, ironically, when we finally did get it together, he wasn't able to be there because he's in Russia right now teaching. So he's going to be gone actually for possibly the next one as well. But we were able to finally get it going. And a lot of that had to do with enlisting the help of Spencer Gordon, another Toronto writer, who really helped just organize the basic necessities of getting a room and making sure that the information was sent, you know, the listings were carried and all the papers. So we're very grateful to Spencer for kind of kicking it into the real world.
Now, it features one American writer and one Canadian writer. And since, you know, you've lived in Detroit and you're living in Toronto, and you've basically had a sense of American writers and Canadian writers, is there a difference between the two in terms of a mindset or a style?
Well, I mean, I think that, I mean, I've been living in Canada for about 8 years, and I definitely noticed I've changed a bit being here. And, I mean, I would have changed anyway in the 8 years, I suppose. But I think that I find it increasingly difficult to pinpoint cultural differences, although I become increasingly aware of them. And so it's a hard question to answer. But I would say that there's little differences. And it's funny, I also lived in Chicago for a long time and New York City for a few years before moving to Toronto. So I've been in a lot of North American cities. And because I'd been in Chicago for so long, when Adam Levin, who was one of our first writers, you know, was one of the two writers at our first event, got here, and I think I knew he was from Chicago. I didn't know very much about Adam, actually. He's someone that Jeff had asked to come, and, you know, his book has just come out, so I hadn't had the chance to read it yet, although I'd been hearing really great things. So what was really fun, even though, again, it's an almost intangible quality to describe, because it turned out that he'd grown up in Chicago, and he's living in an apartment a stone's throw from the last apartment I lived in Chicago, we had all these cultural reference points in common. And I don't know, there was a comfort there immediately that was really fun for me. And watching him interact with Pasha Mala, who's, of course, a Canadian writer, you know, they had their own vocabulary of reference points as, you know, prose writers and novelists. So, you know, there are differences, but I think they're difficult to pinpoint, and they're also far less significant than the connections that I think people who value the culture of writing have in common.
So it sounds like nationalities go out the window and it just becomes one big community.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely different personalities, but I mean, there's so many different personalities regionally across this country and throughout the United States and, you know, globally that, you know, it's funny, like, especially in the writing community and around the time, and, you know, most arts communities, around the time when I moved here early during the, you know, first Bush years, I think that I had a lot of friends from the States who wanted to move to Canada, and invariably when I'm back at home or if I'm visiting friends in Chicago, like, people are quite envious of the fact that I get to live here. So I think there's, people really underestimate the interest that American writers have in Canadian culture and in Canadian artists. And I think that another reason that we wanted to do this series wasn't just because we wanted the opportunity to bring friends of ours from, you know, Chicago or New York or Detroit or anywhere in the States and come up and just spend some time and introduce them to other writers, but also because, you know, I get really excited by the fact that how many people from the States, how many artists from the States want to know more about the artists and writers in Canada. And I find that, you know, even just getting two people together and going out for, you know, allowing them a platform where they can each present their work and then, you know, going out for tacos and or burritos or whatever, like the other night, and drinks and dessert. There's a dialogue that gets started that's very exciting to me, because then, you know, someone like Adam Levin goes back home and, you know, talks about the different artists that he's met in Toronto, and it just sort of spreads out from there. Even though it's on a very small scale, I feel like, I don't know, I get really excited by seeing those connections being made.
Now, the first event that you mentioned, or reading, took place on November 20th. So yes. For those who weren't able to attend the event, what exactly happens at a Border Patrol Reading Series event?
Well, I mean, I can only say what happened at the first one. Is it may vary as we move forward, but it was pretty straightforward. We introduced the readers because Jeff Parker is, as I mentioned, in Russia. He had prepared introductions for both of the writers that Spencer Gordon read aloud. And we introduced Pasha Mala first, who wrote The Withdrawal Method. And he's a really great writer, and he's been recently doing... he's recently made a commitment that every time he gives a reading, he will read something brand new that he hasn't read before. So he read a piece that he had, you know, literally, he said, printed. I mean, this reading started at 5. He got there at about 5 on the dot with a piece that he had just printed out about 20 minutes earlier.
And he just wrote it, like...
Yeah, he'd been working on it, I think he said, throughout the week, and he finished it and printed it and ran off to the reading, all kind of in one go. And it was great. It was a really, really great personal essay about step families and, you know, cancer and dancing. I mean, that, you know, it was very layered and funny and fresh. And he was really nervous that it was going to be too long. He hadn't ever read it out loud. He didn't know how long it would go. And it was great. Everybody really responded beautifully to it. And it was really fun to hear someone reading something. Like, it was obviously the first time he'd heard it out loud. So it was really fun to start the night with something. So, I mean, not that it was spontaneous, but something that was
fresh.
And then we had a short break, and then we introduced Adam Levin, who just published his first novel, which is 1,030 pages long, and he's been working on it for about 10 years, and McSweeney's just published it. It's gorgeous. It's one of those, you know, their books are so beautiful, but, you know, this gorgeous hardcover. I think there's a couple, I think the one I have is blue with red illustration sort of embossed into it, and I think that I saw one online that was sort of the reverse color scheme, but it's a really beautiful book, and he read a few passages from that, and it takes place in about 4 days, even though it's 1,000 plus pages, and so it was, you know, it was very funny, because he'd read a little section, and then he'd jump ahead and say that it was about 15 minutes later in time within the world of the novel. So, and it was a very funny book, very smart, very layered. It was very clear, even just in, I mean, he only read for about probably 20 minutes from a few sections of the book, I think maybe 3 sections. And, you know, it was, he gave a real window into the universe of the book. And I mean, I don't know, I think he, you know, he sold a number of copies afterwards. I bought a copy. I'm really looking forward to reading it. So in terms of using a reading series for a platform to promote a new book, I think it was, you know, I think it worked out pretty well.
And do the authors come back on stage together and discuss anything, or is it just...
We considered doing that, and, you know, it seemed unnecessary. They stuck around and signed books and talked to people one-on-one, which seemed to work better. But I'm open to the idea of having a, you know, kind of panel discussion or a Q&A afterwards. I mean, it's really very organic, this whole process right now. We're just trying things out and seeing what works. I think it will really vary depending on the relationship the two writers may have. I mean, not only do we want to have writers that have some kind of aesthetic sensibility in common or in contrast to kind of play off of, but, you know, there may be opportunities for us to bring writers who actually have a pre-existing relationship with each other. And in that case, I think having them, after their reading, speak to the audience together would make a lot of sense. But, you know, for the first one, it didn't seem to be necessary, so.
Well, the first one's under your belt. When will be the next event?
We're not sure yet. Like I said, it's pretty organic, so we're going to wait. It'll be in the new year. We don't have any funding for the series, and we didn't take any money at the door. We just, you know, kind of are doing this with friends at this point. So it's a little bit more difficult when you're doing that to schedule around people's availability. So we're talking to a few people, and we're looking forward to putting something together probably like in January.
And Damien, if people would like to get involved or they'd like more information on the Border Patrol reading series, what's the best way to do that?
There's a website that Spencer put together that I believe is BorderPatrolToronto.com. And, you know, I think we're on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Well, it's certainly something to look forward to in 2011. Damien, thanks so much for your time and all the best with the series.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
Damien Rogers is one of the organizers of the Border Patrol Reading Series. For more information, please visit www.BorderPatrolToronto.com. That's BorderPatrolToronto, all one word, .com. That's all for this episode of This is Toronto. I'm Eric Rosenheck. Thanks for listening.